Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. They've spent years working for the EPA. Now hundreds of former EPA employees are speaking out across the country and speaking out loudly, demanding the Trump administration back off of its plan to weaken national fuel economy standards aimed at reducing car emissions. They call themselves the Environmental Protection Network. And two of the EPN members testified against the Trump plan at an EPA public hearing today in Dearborn, including Jeff Olson, a former senior policy advisor at the EPA. He worked there for 40 years, and he spent some 10 years writing the EPA fuel economy standards. Jeff Olson, the very rules that acting EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler is now trying to roll back?
Yes, that's correct, Cindy.
That must be surreal for you as you stand at a hearing before your former employer speaking out about your opposition to an action it wants to take that would unwind the work you did.
It is. And it's not just that it was the work that I did, but it's also that these standards have been, I think the objective evidence shows, very successful. We've been reducing car pollution, especially the greenhouse gas pollution that leads to global warming and climate change. Consumers have been getting higher fuel economy, so they're saving money, that they're, more money in their pockets and less money going to the oil companies. And the thing that I think a lot of people forget to mention, the automakers are actually doing great under these standards. Because consumers love these cars, they are a little bit more expensive because it takes new technology to meet these standards, to be sure. But they're saving so much on gasoline that they're flocking into showrooms. And the last 3 years have been three of the four best selling years in U.S. automotive history. So profits are up, jobs are up, UAW supports the standards. So because of that, this isn't some theoretical thing that we're doing in the future. These standards have been getting a little more stringent each year since 2012, and I think all the objective evidence is if they're working, and when they're working, why roll them back?
So just to bring everybody onto the same page, the Trump administration announced last month it wants to freeze U.S. mileage standards at levels that were mandated by President Obama for 2020. And these standards are the ones that regulate just how far vehicles must travel on a gallon of fuel. So, Jeff, what do you believe would result from changing existing fuel economy standards for model years 2021 through 2026?
We will emit a lot more greenhouse gas pollution. We'll emit more health-related emissions as well, although the standards are greenhouse gas standards, but it turns out that when you make a car more efficient, you also generally make the car a little cleaner for health-related pollution as well. Consumers will have less efficient cars, so they'll have to pay more, out of their pocket for gasoline to drive around every day and every year. And I feel that the automakers themselves will lose their leadership position. Right now, because these standards have been driving a lot of innovation, that's why these standards can be so good from an economic standpoint. They help spark the type of technology innovation that, where auto industry engineers can use their ingenuity and their skills to come up with better ways to do what they used to do. The U.S. right now is in a very good spot. The U.S. companies are among the best technology companies in the world. If we cut back on these standards while the Chinese and the Europeans and the Japanese continue to set more and more stringent standards, I'm afraid we're going to lose that technology leadership, and that could have a big impact on the health and well-being of our domestic industry 5 and 10 and 20 years from now.
Then there's this issue of California. Jeff, how easy would it be for Congress to revoke California's waiver to set its own standards and the other states that are setting their own standards?
Well, Congress, of course, can do whatever they want to do, whatever they want to do. This is a little different. This would be the EPA revoking the waiver that we granted to the state of California a few years ago. Under this proposal from the Trump administration, EPA would be revoking that waiver. That's never happened. That's unprecedented. And so the legal questions are up in the air as to whether a court would decide that after 50 years of granting waivers to the state of California and never revoking one, does EPA actually have the right and the power to revoke a waiver that is already granted? So that's a very uncertain question, but it's not really a congressional question. Congress could always pass a law, Cindy, and change the Clean Air Act and say California no longer has the ability to ask for a waiver, but that hasn't happened. The law still allows California to ask for that waiver. And so this is a kind of a question more for the Trump administration, for the EPA itself, as to whether they want to try to revoke that waiver. I'll just say briefly, I think it would be a real mistake to do that, because when you look back 50 years, the U.S. has been the most successful country in the world in reducing vehicle pollution. And let me put a shameless plug in, because of the laboratory in Ann Arbor that many of your listeners probably drive by every day on Plymouth Road, we have the world's leading, I say we, because even though I retired from EPA, I still think of myself as an EPA person. So the EPA lab on Plymouth Road has been the global leader in reducing vehicle pollution ever since 1970. We were the first country to require catalytic converters. We were the first country to require unleaded gasoline. These are some of the greatest technology, environmental technology innovations of all time. They've saved countless millions of lives and illnesses. And it's been a combination of EPA pushing the way at times, and then other times the state of California leading the way. It's been kind of a synergistic relationship. And there's been debates all along between the industry about whether we were going too fast or not. But when you look back now, in 2018, to what was done back in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, everybody, I mean even the industry, agrees that the technology that these regulations sparked turned out to be successful for everybody, successful for the consumers, successful for the citizens, successful even for the automakers. And I think if we take the California out of that equation, it's going to mean that sometimes when the federal government is run by a president who really doesn't believe in environmental protection, doesn't believe in clean air, doesn't believe in climate change, then there would be no progress. So I think it would be a real mistake to take California's authority away from them.
I'm speaking with Jeff Alsen, a former senior policy advisor at the EPA. He was there for 40 years. He is no longer with the EPA. He's with the Environmental Protection Network. Members are going around the country testifying against the Trump plan to weaken national fuel economy standards. He spoke at a hearing today in Dearborn. Jeff, when did you leave the EPA?
The end of April of this year.
Okay. So there was consternation among the auto industry when the midterm review of fuel economy standards was sped up towards the end of the Obama administration. Some felt jammed through very quickly. Why was there a rush to do that?
We finalized this. Well, a little bit of semantics. The standards were actually finalized out to 2025 back in 2012, but we did have this midterm review to kind of to do a check-in and to reaffirm, maybe that's the better word, to reaffirm the standards. And the Obama EPA did do that in January of 2017, just a couple of weeks before President Obama left office and President Trump came into office. And I will admit that we sped up the process a little bit. But the good news is...
Why was that, though? Why, when you say you sped up the process, why was that?
Well, we sped it up because we kind of knew what was coming. We feared that under the new administration that it was quite possible that these standards would be wiped off the books without a genuine conclusion of that midterm evaluation. And I think what we're seeing today really kind of reinforces that we were probably right. But the other major point I want to make, Cindy, is that in January 2017, people like me had spent almost a full decade working on these standards, analyzing the technology, looking at all the costs, everything. We had published 10,000 pages of technical analysis. Your listeners can go to the EPA.gov website if they want to peruse any of those 10,000 pages. We had done by far the most, because we knew we were making history. We knew these standards were going to be massive from both an environmental and an economic standpoint, and we threw every smart engineer, an economist, an analyst that we had at this program, and we had done so much work by January 2017 that we knew, we had reaffirmed to ourselves that there was plenty of technology to meet these standards 8 years later, because we were doing this in 2017, we were reaffirming the standards all the way up to 2025. We knew there was already the technology there, and the technology costs had actually come down a little compared to what we had first projected years before when we first set the standards. So we just felt like we knew enough. It wasn't like, you know, once you have technology, Cindy, it doesn't disappear. Once you have a technology that you can make for $100, it's not a year later going to be $200 or $300. That's not the way it works. So we knew, you know, we knew enough in January 17 to know that it made sense to finalize these standards. We did speed up the process because we knew once the new folks came in that they were probably going to not allow kind of a data-driven decision. And I think that, you know, the proposal we're at now, this proposal to freeze the greenhouse gas standards for 8 years and the fuel economy standards for 6 years, I mean, totally freeze them and not require the automakers to do anything for 8 years just shows you what we kind of anticipated was going to be the situation. So I think history has validated our decision, but I understand why the industry feels that we did rush the process, and I would admit we did rush the process a little bit.
Jeff Olson was with the EPA for 40 years. He helped to write the National Fuel Economy Standards that the Trump administration is now looking to weaken. In Dearborn today, speaking out against that action. Jeff, thank you for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thanks, Cindy. I really appreciate being on the show.